listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Abroad, there were some who admired the way this new Germany stood up for herself.
In America, we've had many reports against your new government, and in most cases, this has caused hasty demonstrations everywhere. I can now say to you that the American people today realize that these stories are untrue and without foundation. I find that there's a new, fresh vitality here in Germany under your great leader and Chancellor Adolf Hitler, of whom I'm a great admirer. The new Germany will live, for you have the best centralized government in the world today.
It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. If you want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
Chat room URL is onfrequencyradio.chattango.com. You can join us in the chat room there. We have Kenneth and his loyal dog Trigger sitting there at the control room there to answer any calls to put you on the air. And with that, I'll go into tonight's little forum here. I will say, though, that if anyone would like to call in, I will be taking calls up until the 30-minute hour. Then after the 30, I'd like to play two different videos there. So, if you hold from the 30 to the 50, we'll have it made there. So anyway, as many of you know, there's a lot of news going on in the world today, and for some it might be good as they await their second rapture, thinking that's coming. But anyway, for others, it means just more wars to prop up someone or some foreign regime, or I should say rapacious regime, that this government supports more than they do their own citizens. Which begs the question, why do Muslims hide their face unless they're not Muslims but a foreign military masquerading as ISIS? Has anyone ever heard of an ISIS member that was actually captured and being charged for war crimes? Not gonna do it. Anyway, as RBN and Mike Rivera and others out here on RBN seem to need help constantly to help them with their networks and computer issues, even my own computer here has given me problems and I can't seem to find out what's wrong with it. I open a link or something, and it opens up five or six different pages. And first, I thought it was a mouse input problem. And I formatted the system, and it just keeps doing it. So I'm not sure what's wrong. But anyway, so be sure to help donate to at least RBN here. I'm not sure how long I'll last out here, but I only seem to develop these computer problems after John asked me to do this show out here. So I don't know if that's good or bad. Anyway, many Americans are concerned of, and there is a lot of concern about this, is, you know, speaking of moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and of course we've seen, we see that Rex Tillerson has said that this move may not take place overnight, it may take a period of time, but anyway, it's causing a lot of uproar in the Arab Muslim world, and as well as in Europe, too. What should be, though, of more importance, other than moving the embassy to Jerusalem, is the fact of the continued war crimes being done by the Israelis against the Palestinians. Personally, I'm tired of seeing a young Palestinian shot dead or watching an Israeli soldier knee some young Palestinian boy in his gahonas there until he finally buckles over and then they stomp the crap out of him. Collective punishment is a war crime. as well as with all my history and knowledge like that, I hate to see that, or at least say this anyway, that I never saw Hitler bomb his Jewish ghettos, which you could compare to Gaza, which is the world's largest open-air prison in the world. Anyway, that's just my personal opinion. Others may have the same. Who knows? But anyway, Americans still can't see this because to do so, they would have to look at their own country's actions on its own indigenous tribes of Americans and realize the slaughter done to the Indians here. And like I've always stated here, I live on an Indian reservation here in Montana, and I see firsthand what has happened to the tribal members here. And I will say, though, it is nice to speak to actual tribal members there and have them not realize what has been done, because they have been decultured, not even to understand what's going on or how things took place. And to give you a quick reference of that, if you remember the Black Hills Gold Rush, it started earlier in the 1800s there, but it kind of reached its peak in 1876 and 77 there. And it's important to know this because one of the Roman Catholic missionaries, Father D. Schmidt, is reported of having seen the Sioux Indians carrying gold. Reminds me of McKenna's Gold, if you remember that Gregory Peck movie, which they told him came from the Black Hills. And then, so it wasn't shortly right after that that we had the United States government recognize the Black Hills as belonging to the Sioux by the Treaty of Laramie in 1868, and despite being all within Indian territory and therefore off limits to white Americans. And I run into that constantly here, where a white man can't do this or a white man can't do that here on the reservation, which is fine. I respect them and their rights and their properties. But there was an increased interest, though, after that period of time from 1886 into the interest of gold mining possibilities in the Black Hills. And, of course, the larger placer gold deposits of Deadwood Gulch were discovered in November of 1875 and 1876. Thousands of gold seekers flocked to the new town of Deadwood. In a couple movies after that, too. Although it's still within the Indian land. And, of course, the concept of Mount Rushmore dates back to 1923, which is, you know, quite a few years later there, where the South Dakotan state history, Dwayne Robinson, who had the original idea for Mount Rushmore, known as the father of Mount Rushmore. Robinson's motivation was to create a monument attraction of the Black Hills of South Dakota that would bring tourists from all over the country. And, of course, his original idea was that of a large-scale sculpture of Indian leaders and key American explorers who helped discover the frontier. And for those that know me and my humor, my dog Milo, he simply pisses on a tree to mark his territory. But none of this aforementioned could have been possible without the starvation of the Native Americans in 1890, where tens of thousands of buffalo were slaughtered to starve the natives. And therefore, we come to the Wounded Knee massacres, or the Battle of Wounded Knee, as some call it, in 1890, which is where one of the worst shootings instigated by the U.S. government, although they claim it was because during a war dance that one of the tribal members, his gun went off, and instantly the gunshots started firing. And, of course, they list over 150 men, women, and children of the Lakota tribe being killed, 51 wounded, many more died after that wounded. And, of course, some estimates the number placed up around 300. So when you hear of a school shooting by guns in the U.S., I always compare that to what we know of history. But I would also compare that, though, to Israel and Palestine, as well as Syria, where the Israelis are stealing from the Golan Heights oil from Syria, and the Leviathan LP gas field off the coast of Gaza. But, of course, I have to digress on that. People just don't care, because it would mean they'd have to acknowledge something's wrong. And, of course, when you, like myself, you look at Israel and Palestine when talking to others, imagine for the Jews to claim that as being a gift from their God as chosen ones, you know. Hey, in a recent poll over there in Israel, in the Haaretz newspaper, said that out of 50 nations polled, the Jews are the least religious, yet they all claim to be chosen ones, and the land was theirs. There's a good video on YouTube there called This Land Is Mine. It kind of gives you the back and forth of how that entire land over there has exchanged hands from Romans on down, you know, the British, whatever. So, but anyway. But again, I say, compared to, say, a Native American who might show up on your door and start, and, you know, and tell you that his great spirit gave you this land, America, to them, and to get off their property. And, of course, what Americans would do is say, hey, you know, blank off, you know. But that's because, again, we don't realize what has been done. And the same thing down in Australia with the indigenous tribes down there. I remember reading a detailed report out of one of the New Zealand papers many years ago, what talked about the five different atomic blasts they'd set off over there in Australia there, which of course, poisoned the indigenous people over there. And they still suffer from that today, and there's still areas of no-go over there. But see, the indigenous people have to live that way. But, you know, that's how tribes and stuff fight back and forth and everything like that, and they steal other people's property and gold and whatever, and we see the same thing with Iraq, where all the gold was liberated from Iraq, all the gold was liberated from Libya. Ukraine, same thing. It's just an, you know, just like another carrying on of whatever is going on. And just people don't like to recognize that because they might realize that they might have to curtail their own lifestyles. But I also kind of reserve the opinion here too, because I see a lot of things within this reservation that I don't agree with, and it's not because of the Native Americans. It's because I see the Native Americans getting the shaft, and it's because of the corporatizing of the reservations, and of course all the big enchilots at these echelon type things at the tribal headquarters. It doesn't matter what reservation you're at either. They have the nicest buildings and whichever. And the Native Americans run around in these cars held together by what we call Indian chrome duct tape. And their houses are, you know, they have to put in for their housing and to get the housing authorities to come out and repair and or. And, of course, the main sufferers of this is usually the children. But at least one thing about it is at least the tribal members can go to their tribal health thing and get free condoms, right? Anyway. Due to this deculturization of the people, even many tribal people I daily speak with aren't even aware of their own history, as I mentioned, and they're also shocked when a white man tells them more about their dying culture than they even knew about. And, of course, I came here with a perception of probably watching too many, cowboy and Indian shows, you know, but perhaps it was a John Wayne era. But I see how more and more Native Americans are getting screwed in their own deal. And, of course, again, like was brought up here recently in one of our water rights meetings here, where they're trying to take over the operation of our own private wells here and put meters on them to charge us for our water. That, the tribe wants to profit. Of course, this is because of those big corporations like Nestle's and stuff, which can suck out of the water out of California and millions and millions of gallons, and yet to people they can't even water their yards and are reduced to pouring rocks to make their yard look nice, painted rocks. But the corporations always win. But, I could also mention the millions killed or displaced in all these illegal actions and broken treaties. And, of course, the millions may not die in what we call in reference to a quick span of time. Later in the show here, I was going to talk about natural disasters, but Tom down there in Utah could understand this because of the fact that some of the housing brought into this area here is toxic, and of course into other reservations too, just like it was down in Katrina. And I mean, the list goes on and on, so it's more of a subtle killing of people, and it's usually the poor that have to suffer. It's not the middle class or whatever, or the upper 1%ers. It's always the poor. But the U.S. has for decades supplied lethal aid to rapacious regimes who in turn have slaughtered their own people just so that they could control the wealth of those countries to provide the slave labor for all the minerals needed to drive your cars for batteries or trucks, and of course have that new iPhone or Samsung phone or tablet that you can send your naked selfie photos to or whatever like that to your loved ones and or those you're chumming for. But systematically we see this country is destroying itself, and the priorities are just so far away from what they originally was when I grew up. I remember it was always a goal to look forward, you know, look forward to graduating school, graduating college, and of course, with a degree or whatever, go on to whatever business you wanted. And nowadays, since people are being screwed out of their colleges, high student loans, the main issue is people don't look forward into the future that much, so they depend on the state. And within that, they used to live day to day. Now it's down to about an hour to hour. And again, as I've mentioned before, the fact that I can monitor five different counties here on the police radio here, that I hear the amount of suicides, the gun calls, the knifing calls, the barroom fights, and they're all gaining. And of course, this comes along with your partner family assaults and other. Well, we had a big shootout here the other day with them shooting at the cops and stuff here. But you know, more and more of these people are realizing that this is probably the third time for being out. And of course, they realize they're going to prison. And no one would want to go to prison today. So, of course, they'd probably shoot their way out of thing. But the other issue I see, too, is that everything is developed for commerce. And, yes, you know, you have to realize that banks, everyone else wants you to go paperless nowadays. Everything I get, whether it's in the regular mail or if I get an email from some firm, they always want me to go to paperless. And I refuse to do that. I continue to go to snail mail. And, of course, that's because they have to spend postage to send that to me, whereas they want me to do it online. And, of course, online there are still fees, these little small transaction fees. Just in as much as if you use a debit or a credit card, there's still a fee attached to those. And, of course, you can look at how much the banks have been able to rake off the American public here alone just in these transactional fees, which, of course, they'll let you overdraft or something if you have a credit card. And, of course, the additional fee charged onto that, they're making a killing there. But, and, of course, far be it from anyone to actually pay or send you an envelope today that's self-addressed and prepaid to get you to pay them. And, of course, you might get a self-addressed envelope on some things, but the other ones won't. And which is weird there, like tribal here, we pay water and power on different bills. The power company, they send one that has an automatically addressed envelope in it. Of course, you got to put a stamp on it, but the water doesn't. And you have to fill out your own envelope and everything like that, put your stamp on it, or get a stamped envelope and do it yourself. And I kind of laugh at that because earlier this year here, I'd sent a snail mail, a bill off to Dallas, Texas, which is only 1,673 miles away. It took 20 days to get there, 20 days for 1,673 miles. I was wondering if it went by horseback. And then, of course, I got charged a late fee on that. And, of course, by the time I worked it out, I got the late fee finally taken off there. But you would think that the Postal Service, who's asking for more and more money to raise their cost of stamps and stuff, would be able to get a small envelope, 1,673 miles, within 4 days, not 20. But anyway, I see Renee's calling in here. We got a break coming up here, too. But, you know, it's amazing that that people will allow this stuff to happen. And I say this for the fact that whenever you see that they want you to go paperless, it just means that they've eliminated another job. And, of course, all transactions today are taken care of by computers. You type in whatever your debit card number is like that, and the transaction's all done. And usually there's a little note disclaimer there that says that there's a small fee you charged, you know, for whatever like that. Same thing with ATM machines. Some ATM machines charge $5 for a transaction. I mean, you know, that's $5 worth of working money there. And they wonder why people have no money to play around. But anyway, I'll go ahead and, Renee, I'll go ahead and take up your call here, but we're going to have to work you right through the break there, okay?
Okay.
Then I got to find out how to get to that screen that just popped up here because my stupid Skype does not work here. But anyway, I'll tell you what, we'll be right back after the break. Renee, you stay online there, and we'll have more information here coming up soon. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
And a little thing that you want to know, turn to talk radio. Anytime, alone, anywhere you go, it's on talk radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. Before I take Renee, I want to say one other thing here. As if, when it comes to these payments and stuff, I'd rather get a $1 money order and have the privacy of mailing it. That way I don't have to put any of my information on the internet, where today when someone's hacked or something, the FBI just says, well, simply pay them or something like that, or have your hard drive locked down or something. You know, there is no thwarting of these. Like Mike Rivero says, you want to stop hackers, put them up on a cross and crucify them there in front of everyone like that. Let them sit there bleeding for a week or something. And, of course, people might wise up there. Anyway, Renee, how you doing over there in North Carolina?
Well, I'm worried about you, Keith.
I'm worried, too.
Your days may be numbered. You have expressed empathy for the Palestinians, Aborigines, and Native Americans.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that terrible?
What are you, some kind of like anti-Anglo-Saxon imperialist self-hating white race traitor? Where is your white pride, Keith?
Yeah, I know. I don't have a flag rolled up my butt, so every time I fart, it flutters, you know. I'm sorry, you know. You know what? When I got my driver's license renewed because it was expiring because my birthday was yesterday, on the form there, I omitted where it says, are you a citizen? And then where it says where my address was, I put the United States of Israel. Anyway, the gal was looking over my form, and she says, well, are you a citizen? I says, I'm natural born. She says, what do you mean? I says, well, I got friends from Czech Republic that actually came here, learned our history, and had to swear an allegiance to the United States. I've never had to do any of that. And I says, and as far as anything else, I says, the United States is owned by Israel. I said, you can tell that. Of course, now that's even come to fruition on that, you know.
Yeah, but like I tell people, we wouldn't have an Israel if it had not been for in the past, with the whole Balfour Agreement and everything else. Those people plan way ahead. I still think that's all part of that whole British Empire conquering the world plan to stick those people over there, to cause trouble, to have an excuse to go in there to conquer them. That's my thought on that.
Yeah, Renee, if you look up the Havara Agreement on Wiki, it says right out there, the Zionist entities of Germany bartered with Nazis to obtain Palestine. And, of course, if they mention Palestine, well, that means Palestine existed.
And where does one country get this whole Bible thing? You know, okay, so, like, if Britain and America want to give the Jews some land, give them some of their own land, okay? None of this Bible excuse to take the Palestinians' land to go give it to. Why do they get to go give somebody else's stuff to somebody? You know what I mean? I mean, when you unhook your brain from the brainwashing, it all makes no sense. You know.
It's the same though of saying that the people of Crimea voted under international law for their own sovereignty and to divest themselves of the U.S. junta that's led over there in Kiev. You know. Or that the people of Syria democratically elected their own government, but the United States isn't going to recognize it, or the West isn't, you know, and then they turn around and they say, okay, well, we're going to move everything to, you know, Jerusalem, and we recognize that. I mean, that is so much doublespeak, it's pathetic.
Well, how about the whole thing with the nuclear bomb, too? It's like, okay, we started it, and we dropped it, but, oh, you other people can't have any.
Actually, pluralism. I always try to correct people on that, I didn't do any of that stuff. I don't go to war. I don't kill people. You know, I have a neighbor that's an idiot, but I stay away from him as much as possible until my dog kills one of his cats. But you know, the point is though, is this pluralism where they want you to loop, you know, jump on board with his waving flags and patriotism stuff about, yeah, we're in Iraq. No, I'm not in Iraq. You know, and I don't agree with what's going on in Iraq. You know, nor do I agree with what they did with Libya. Nor do I agree with what they're doing to Syria, you know. In the meantime, like I say, 16 years of spending $250 million a day from the U.S. military, and we have people that are elderly that can't even afford dentures or eyeglasses. And the U.S. government, those war criminals in Congress, are supporting these open-ended terrorists over their own people. Same thing in Montana here with our winter roads and stuff. You watch someone die on a winter road, and you realize, geez, you know, out of those hundreds of millions of dollars they sent over to Syria to train those rebels, a.k.a. moderate rebels, you know, that they could have bought a snowplow and trained a driver here to save lives here.
I'm with you. You make more sense than just about anybody else, because I reverted back to listening to the old-timers on YouTube. Listening today to some old Dr. Stan Monteith. I listened to William Cooper or Anthony Sutton or some of the old timers, because the new timers in many ways have done a 180 degree turn, and
yeah,
they kind of lost
up.
Some of the knowledge that the.
Yeah, my break's coming up here, Renee. We'll be right back, okay? We'll be right back here on RBN. This is Keith Rogers, and you're listening on Frequency.
In to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio.
Welcome back. Truth is on. You're listening to RBN here with On Frequency with Keith Rogers. Renee, I need to make this one short because I got two video clips here. So what else you have on your mind, young lady?
That's it. Like I said, I'm just worried about you.
Yeah. You know what? A friend of mine told me, he says, you know what? You told me 8 years ago that I thought you were wacko and nuts on like that. He says, it's all come true. I says, well, it's just, I just like to read, you know?
Well, we need more wackos like you because I think you're making some of the most sense, you know, because it's insane that we can find so much money to go murder people and make their lives hell. But if it's anything to help somebody, you can't do that. You can't do that. The same people that will object to doing anything kind or decent for people, they have no problem with all the money we spend killing people, a whole lot of them. Not everybody, but a lot of them are like that. And it's just absurd. The quality of life by destroying people's homes, turning people into murderers, turning people into the murdered, turning people into the victims and family members who've lost these people or have to live with the PTSD from the people who kill people. I mean, these people are making a mess out of so many people's lives, and so many people are clueless, but I think you get it, Keith.
Yeah, well, thank you, okay? Anyway, thanks for calling in, and we'll look forward to you next week if you're calling, okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, thank you. All right, Ken, you want to run that first video there from, what's his name, Stockman?
Shall we start maybe with what, and I appreciate what Paul said,
right.
The kicking the can. So what? And they're talking about, you know, stopgap spending bill after stopgap spending bill. Yeah. The conservatives saying, no, let's stop it and let's just pass our bill. What's going on?
Well, they constantly say that, but they end up capitulating and kicking the can. They've been doing it for 10 years. Let's just look at the last year. On November 30, the net debt of the United States was $20.4 trillion. Up $900 billion since the previous November 30. Now, here we are into the eighth year of a business expansion recovery, so-called, and we're running a deficit of more than 4% of GDP, $900 billion a year, and they have no ability to even run the government for more than 2 weeks at a time. No one has addressed entitlements. Defense spending is out of control, and now they're going to lay on top of that this massive tax cut, which can't be afforded and is essentially going to do nothing good for the economy except add to the national debt, you know, upwards of $1.5 trillion over the next 4 or 5 years.
Well, and of course, when you harken back over the trend we've been on, it's Republicans have been in the control of the House and Senate for a while, but Democrats, of course, have played some part in this. I don't want to get into that so much. One of your recent blogs, at the Contra Corner, does a terrific job of looking at the tax plan and how the vast majority of this cut, this corporate tax cut of 20%, is going to account for the increase in the deficit. In a nutshell, we can't go through all the first three pages, but do the math for us. It's stunning.
Well, the math is in the 5 years from fiscal 19 to 24, that's the heart of this tax bill impact. It will add $1.4 trillion to the national debt, and almost all of that on the margin will come from the corporate rate cut and the pass-through cut. The issue is, will that stimulate growth or simply more stock buybacks, more dividends, more return on capital? I say overwhelmingly, it's going to be more dividends, more stock buybacks, more financial engineering, because we already have the lowest cost of capital in recorded history. And if businesses really wanted to invest in the domestic economy, there's nothing standing in their way. But what have they been doing for the last 5-6 years? Massive stock buybacks, massive M&A deals, dividends, in some cases, with borrowed money. So I think the problem is not the IRS. The problem is the Fed and financial repression and the fact that they've made debt and capital so cheap and speculation so lucrative that the system isn't working anymore. And if you simply lay a tax cut on top of that, it's only going to give you more of the same.
I have to have at least one question on the Mueller investigation. Right. And I have to tell our viewers that you have done like this 10-page piece they can find at Contra Corner, and basically you're saying that Russiagate is, and at least for the Flynn part of it, has been cooked up intentionally by those at the FBI, what do you call it, the deep inside?
The deep state.
Who are anti-Trump. Now, it's not too surprising to find someone who's anti-Trump, but would they really, because I don't know, what do they do? And it sounds like almost what they're doing is illegal.
Well, I think it was the deal on Flynn was a giant perjury trap. They had the transcript because NASA, NSA, National Security Agency, does record every conversation with a Russian ambassador. So they knew there was nothing in that conversation that was illegal, that reached back to the campaign, that had anything to do with collusion. It was all about, one, the resolution on Israel, and second, the new sanctions, which I think were a big mistake, and what the Trump administration might be thinking going forward. That's what National Security security advisors do when they talk to the ambassadors from major foreign countries. So why did they then charge into the White House 4 days after the inauguration and demand, without even notifying Flynn, that to have an interview about the content of tapes that they'd already read? The answer was an I gotcha thing. They were trying to get him to contradict himself or to say something at variance with the, what was on the tapes, so they would have a perjury case so they could come after him and then continue the process of trying to unravel this election. Russiagate, in my view, is simply an attempt to relitigate the last election. It's a giant witch hunt. The evidence that there was anything material that happened that affected our election is non-existent. The only things that made any sense were the, DNC hack. And I think it's pretty well proven if they had the evidence, they ought to put it out. And they don't have the evidence, and I think this is just a terrible thing.
I want to let Paul jump in here, too, again. However, I just want to remind our listeners that you are not a Trump fan.
Yeah, well, David, I hesitate to dive too deeply down this rabbit hole, but I do ask myself, if the conversation between Flynn and Kislyak was so benign, why lie about it? Why did the president then tweet that he knew Flynn lied? Why is Michael Flynn texting a former business partner that the nuclear deal in the Middle East with the Russians is good to go? Surely if Watergate taught us anything, it's that if you see smoke, you should probably go looking for fire?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know why he lied about it. I think he's stupid. It was a giant mistake. It's pretty clear from the Mueller document, from the indictment document, that there was nothing in there except policy content. There was nothing untoward about it. And there was no reason for that interview except to trap the man as part of an effort to get at Trump. And as Kathleen just said, I'm no Trump fan, but I can see a big political witch hunt when it happens. This isn't the 17 intelligence agencies presenting hard proof that there was any Russian meddling. Mm-hmm. This is John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, an insider, Obama partisan, who was trying to explain how Hillary lost the election to the worst candidate in history, Donald Trump.
Well, I want you to take this further, because we're looking at the tax cut plan, which you explain is mostly most of the cost is
for corporations.
Right. It's not going to create jobs. It's not going to create investment. Donald Trump seems to be pretty convinced that this is one of the things that's going to get him reelected. How is this going to play out? You brought Michael Flynn to the table. You're not a Trump.
All right. From that, you'll see that this tax break is for corporations. Now, let's go back to 1991, where Donald Trump is sitting before the Senate talking about how to build the United States up. And to do that would be through massive tax hikes for corporations, who in turn, the only way they would get tax cuts is to reinvest in the economy. So you want to roll that one there, Ken?
Well, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Had the 1986 catastrophe of the Tax Reform Act not been passed, this tax act was just an absolute catastrophe for the country, for the real estate industry, and I really hope that something can be done, as Congressman Thomas recently said, that something can be done to change at least parts of it, because it has taken all incentive away from investing in real estate. You know, I feel very badly about it. Everybody feels very badly about it. The fact is that the one word that nobody up on the panel has mentioned is the word depression. And I truly feel that this country right now is in a depression. It's not a recession. People are kidding themselves if they think it's a recession. But the real estate business, we're in an absolute depression. So I really came on the basis that I wanted to, I'll answer questions on it, but I wanted to discuss the Tax Act of 1986. One of the big things that we don't have today that we used to have and that was a very good thing for real estate, and that's the whole word of syndication and investment. And if you're a dentist and you're making $200,000 or $300,000 a year and you can't invest now in real estate. The reason the stock market is artificially high, in my opinion, is there's no other form of investment. I mean, you can't put it into real estate and you can't put it into bonds. So people are putting it into a stock market. All the companies in the stock market are doing lousy, but their stock is high. And right now, the only thing that sort of keeps the word depression off their lip lip is the fact that we really have a 3,000 stock market and people are surprised to see it, because the companies certainly aren't doing very well within the market itself. But the syndication of real estate was a very positive thing. And you can't syndicate. You can't have people putting up equity. That would take a lot of the strain off the banks, and I think it could really open up a whole new market. And the other thing is, frankly, by having cut the high-income tax rates to 25%, as an example, people don't have the incentive anymore to invest. They're saying, why should I take a chance on investing in low or moderate-income housing? I might as well just pay the tax. But the fact is that 25% for high-income people, it should be raised substantially, with the understanding that if you invest, you can get it down and down substantially below that number. The incentive was taken away when the tax rates came down for high-income people. But people
All right, that's good,
with money have to.
So from that, you'll see from the first video with David Stockman there talking about how the investors are just investing in the stock market and they're buying back all their stocks that are failing, basically, and they're building up their corporations. And then we have Donald Trump and his 180 that we have now with this new tax cut of the 20%, as was first mentioned there, where he first talked about this in 1991 about 25%, then saying it should be much higher. And this would, of course, get those people that who wanted those tax breaks to reinvest. And then if you watch the full video on that, that there's only a little four-minute so-called clip video there, but because of timing, I can't get into that. But there's a full hour video on that entire Senate meeting. And they went on to ask him, what does real estate have to do with this? And he went on to say the fact that if he wanted to buy property, he has to first assume which property it is, check for local building codes and whatever like that to what is needed to improve the property there. Then he has to get permits and stuff. Then if he gets a go for whatever he wants, purchases of land or whatever like that, then he says, then the building begins. And they still did not catch on. And then Donald Trump went on to say, he says, the concrete, well, actually the excavators come in there and they level the land. He says, you're employing them. He says, the concrete guys come in, they pour their concrete. The framers come in there and they do that. And he says, the electricians come in, the plumbers come in. And they still did not catch on. He says each one of those entities I just named, basically, he says, has to buy their products from someone else, which employs thousands of people, whether they're miners for copper or what like that, you know. The same thing with plastics and pipes and whatever like that. This is how to build the entire infrastructure. And, of course, that isn't being done. There's no reinvestment. That's why you have millions of Americans that are homeless, millions that are starving. Even whether it's geared towards more of the middle class like that. But this is how you build infrastructures, is build up your own economy, and yet they've been spending countless hundreds of millions of dollars a day blowing up other countries. When all that money could have been reinvested in the United States, people would have well-paying jobs, or at least jobs that at least paid something. But as you notice, whenever the government talks about job creation, it's always service jobs, and those service jobs are usually, less than 33 hours a week. Or less, like I say. So there's nothing here to build this country up. And that's why we have the decaying infrastructure. And there's some more stuff I wanted to bring out about that. But the point is, though, is imagine, though, that an electrician doesn't just spool off wire off his pickup truck or van or whatever like that. He has to actually physically buy that. And of course, the supplier of that wire has to buy that from someone else in the wholesale market. And of course, this is what keeps the economy turning. Just like the guy that gets concrete, you can order a truck, but of course in the concrete firm has to get the drivers and all this stuff. And this is what builds the economy. And you don't see any of that. What you do see driving down the highway, even here in Montana, is store after store closing. How do you build an economy on that? And it's stupid to even think that you can spend your way out of this, too, adding trillions more into the national debt, which we are constantly reminded that we, you, I, and our children's children have to pay for. And all it is again, just like it was with the bankers in 2008, is the American people paying or buying or bailing out these corporations that are failing, which in turn lay off thousands of people, which is a potential apartment loss, a foreclosed home, repossessed car, And then they wonder why there's such a financial crisis here. But, you know, it's like all's well because, like Rivera would say, you sit up there in these 80-story tall apartment buildings looking down at the poor and life is good for you. They don't care about the little rug rats running around down there like mice on the street foraging for food, you know. But anyway, I wanted to bring that out because I thought that was really important there about the constant 180s from where the tax plan should have been from 1991, where Donald Trump outlined that. And, of course, he amassed a great fortune, and that's I have nothing against that. He's an entrepreneur for all that, you know. But then we see corporations that have taken over, and I knew that was going to happen the minute he appointed a Goldman Sachs personnel to his one of his key members there, you know. You can't stay away from these worthless bankers, you know. Anyway, I got a break coming up here, so I can't go too much further on this. But before it starts, though, I was going to say, I remember I wanted to take some pop cans into Missoula to the recycling center. And in there, while I was sitting there watching my cans go through, I looked over and I saw all these computers that are also being recycled there. And I needed a video card. And, of course, I asked them there upon the completion of the cans there if I could buy one of those video cards. And they told me no, that all computers and or parts went down to Boise, Idaho first for data recovery. And, of course, why are they doing that? Of course, this went on with these scanning machines that you go down and have your driver's license, divorce and stuff. They all have internal hard drives, and all that information is reclaimed by the government. Anyway, we'll be right back. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, 1-800-313-9443. We're taking calls.
Double talk is all you get.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thing that you wanna know.
Welcome back to Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. We have Rick in Arizona. Good evening, Rick.
Yeah, good evening, Keith. I don't know, you probably remember the high interest rates of the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I look back on that, and anybody that I knew that bought a house back then at 16%, they're a millionaire today. They're wealthy people. It was Jimmy Carter who put Paul Volcker into the chairmanship of the Federal Reserve, not Ronald Reagan. And what Volcker did, he told the banks that if you want to be in the business of banking, you have to go out there and go after and build up your own inventory. In other words, you have to pay depositors for their money, and then you can loan it out at a higher rate. But monetary policy for a long time now is just basically social engineering. Until people can make money on their deposits, this is a fake economy. I don't know how long they can keep it going. In the words of Eustace Mullins, I guess as long as you got a shell, you can keep it going. But it's all pretty much, all these numbers are BS. I mean, look at Trump bragging about the unemployment numbers. When he was going against Obama or whatever, or Hillary Clinton, he was telling you not to believe those numbers. So
yeah, but Rick, he's bragging about the stock market being so high, too. And it's the same statement he just made in 91 there, that it's overinflated.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, dude, I mean, it's gone up, what, 6,000 points in how long? I mean, it's not a Trump bump. It's the people that are behind Trump are pushing the market up to make him look good. And that's what I think.
Sure. And when the crash comes, it's going to be devastating.
Yeah. But look at the 1930s. There was no money. No money anywhere. But boy, when they started the war, the money came out of the paneling. There was money everywhere.
I was saying, I guess we got to
get rid of the people that control the Fed, but I don't know if we got anybody that can really replace them. That's the downside.
Well, Rick, like I've mentioned, when you see tens of thousands over in Israel demanding that Netanyahu step down because of his corruption like that, do you see any of that here? No. Like I mentioned last week, if it was an LGBT pride convention like that, sure, they'd be in the streets by the thousands like that. But here, no. You know, they don't.
Yeah,
well, matter of fact, that's part of my rest of the show here.
I mean, they won't even call their congressman. I mean, they've tapped into a part of our mind that we don't even know about. I mean, you can't even get people to call your congressman. I guess they're all too listening to Rush and Hannity. And so, well, we'll see what happens. But, you know, that market's up there.
Yeah, they're like demagogues where people, they think that these politicians and newscasters are their savior, like, and they don't realize what's coming.
Oh, they're all paid to lie.
Yeah.
What do you get millions of dollars for? Unless you're on, you know, the internet.
Yeah, was it George Stephanopoulos, how you pronounce his last name there? The fact that he was getting $10 million. $10 million to lie to you. The president only gets $400,000 if he's taking a wage. And these guys, these newscasters are paid millions annually to lie to you.
Yep, that's why they pay him that much money. Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, all right, sounds good. We got a break coming up here, too, anyway. Thank you for calling in, though, Rick, okay? You know, I want to go back on this before the break here, if I can. No, I guess my break's here there. But I'll get into that after the hour here then. So, anyway, we'll be right back here. Thanks for staying tuned. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443, and you're welcome to call. We'll be right back.
Turn it on, turn it up, and loud as it'll go.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens.
Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.